Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Today we're going to be talking about one of the biggest sporting events that comes to our island, and that is Ironman Triathlon World Championship, which comes up next Saturday, October 13th. And as I'm sure you've noted, there are athletes and visitors associated with Ironman all over the island, not just on the west side. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get to that, in a completely unrelated vein, note that we do have an election coming up and the absentee ballots are going to be mailed out this coming week. So you may be voting before we get to have another conversation. There's four issues coming up on the ballot. Two of them I've had involvement with. I did an interview about the question about whether to have or not to have a constitutional convention with Peter Adler. You may hear that at the podcast site lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. The other issue that we'll be voting on is a proposed constitutional amendment to our state constitution that asks whether we should allow the state to assess property taxes on investment rail property for the purpose of funding public education. On the surface, it sounds easy, but it's a complicated issue because none of the terms are defined. So that's the concern that's been expressed. I moderated a couple of forums. You may see one of them at bigislandvideonews.com. That's up now. You'll just have to scroll back through Dave Corrigan's postings to find it. And that was the Hilo Forum. We did a forum in Kona as well. And you'll be able to see that soon on Naleo TV, or it will be posted to the webpage westhawaiiforum.org. The tricky thing about the amendments is if you vote yes, it's yes. If you vote no, it's no. But if you don't vote at all, they count it as a no. And so make sure you're the one that makes the decision and learn about the issues because they are a little bit tricky. Now let's get to our discussion about Ironman Triathlon. This morning we're talking with Diana Birch. She is the Vice President of World Championships for Ironman, which is, I think we all know, is what we call it, the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. Aloha, Diana.
Aloha, Sherry. How are you?
I'm great. So let's talk about Ironman and what's going to happen in 2018. First of all, some folks have asked me, the name Amazon has now become associated with Ironman Triathlon World Championship, but what is the relationship?
Amazon has come on as our title partner this year, and we're incredibly excited about the opportunity to work with the team at Amazon. So this year, we are officially the Ironman World Championship brought to you by Amazon.
Okay, and what does that mean? Amazon paid you some amount of money to have their name associated with this event?
Yes, so Amazon and Ironman have a partnership agreement, and in that agreement, we both have the benefit of the association of each other with big brands. And so I think Amazon is looking forward to the opportunity to share Amazon to even a wider range and focus on the athletes.
Okay, very good. The Ironman is coming up on Saturday, October 13th. Most people think they're familiar with the course, but I believe there have been some minor course changes this year. So why don't you run us through what the course is?
Yes, yeah, so it's a 2.4-mile swim. It starts right at Kailua Bay. The athletes head out 1.2 miles, turn around and come back and finish on the pier. Jump on their bikes, take off on their bikes, and then the bike is actually, it's the same bike course, 112 miles. It goes through a section in town, which is fabulous. It's very exciting. The streets are filled with spectators. Hot Corner is right on Palani and Kuakini. So if you want to have a piece of excitement in your morning, it's to be out there and watch the athletes go through on their bikes and later in the afternoon on the run. There's thousands of spectators that line the street from Palani to Kuakini just to capture the spirit of the race and the athletes and what they're going through. The bike will still go up to Hawaii. No changes in the bike course at all. So the athletes, once they go through town, they get onto the highway. They ride all the way up to Hawaii. They turn around, come back, and they finish at the pier, the 112 miles. Once they get back on the pier, get their shoes on, and they're ready to run, they take off. They once again go through Hot Corner on Palani and Kuakini, and then they head down toward Ali'i Drive. And just past Lyman's, they turn around, come back on Ali'i, they go up Palani, head out on the highway. On the highway, this is where things change this year because of the change in the highway. We'll actually go into the entrance of Nelha, the new entrance, at Ka'imanani, and then the athletes will go down, and they're actually going to be in Nelha longer than they've ever experienced because they'll be on the new road, Kahilihili, before they actually head down to the bottom of Nelha, turn around, come back out, be back on the highway, and head into town. They will actually come back out of Ka'imanani, yes, turn right on the Queen Ka'ahumanu.
When the athletes run down into the Natural Energy Lab, as they traditionally have done, they will then come back up. But it sounds like it's a little different. They will then go north again on that frontage road that is part of the Natural Energy Lab, Kahilihili, I believe you said the name is?
That's correct.
And then they will again turn up Ka'imanani, and then will they come back on the highway on the ocean side of the highway or on the mountain side of the highway?
So the athletes will run out and back on the Malka side of the highway.
Oh, okay. So the question is, where are the bikers? Because I know that there's actually runners and bikers on the road at the same time. You know, the very fast people get out there and they're running while a lot of people are still on the bikes. So where will the bikes be relative to Queen Ka'ahumanu Highway?
Yeah, there is a period of time out there and throughout the day that it's absolutely incredible. So exactly what you're saying, right at the Natural Energy Lab, you'll have athletes that are coming in, heading south on their bike, going to the pier, and then you'll have runners that are crossing over, heading into Nelha, and you'll have runners that are coming out of Nelha that are headed back. So there is a period of time on the highway that there's literally thousands of people all trying to make their way on the course, either on the bike and the run. So the cyclists will be on the Makai side of the highway.
Both going and coming.
So, nope. On the way out, the cyclists will be on the Malka side. They'll head out with the flow of traffic, and they'll head back in as well with the flow of traffic.
Okay, speaking of traffic, traditionally, Queen Ka'ahumanu Highway has been closed from essentially Kailua Town up to Javi for all or most of the day. Is that still going to be the case, or because portions of the highway are now four lanes, two lanes in each direction, will portions of Queen Ka'ahumanu Highway be open?
No, you know, it's one of those things early on that we were hoping that we would have the opportunity to keep one side of the highway open. But the difference is, with the new highway compared to the old highway, it's not a matter of lanes, it's a matter of width. So the new highway is beautiful and it is so great to actually be driving on it and not run into traffic. However, the width of the road, so if we were to keep it on the Makai side, which is something that we looked at, is this a possibility? The width of it is over 10 feet more narrow than the road was that we used before. So when we only had two lanes, it was only two lanes, but the lanes were wider, the shoulders were wider, so it made it achievable. Losing over 10 feet makes it incredibly challenging with the number of athletes. And we're also doing, you know, film production. We have bike tech out there. There's a lot of operations that are happening out there. So for the safety of our athletes, after sitting and reviewing it for months and with several people, the safety of the athletes is our priority, and the best way for us to manage the course is to close the complete highway.
Well, it's also true that the four-lane portion only goes to the Kona Airport, so you couldn't really possibly have traffic going north of that. So anybody who was on Queen Ka'ahumanu Highway would have to go up Ka'imanani. It sounds like it's better to keep it just with Palani Road as the main access just for this one day, because you're not closing the highway prior to Saturday, October 13th, are you, or are you?
No, we're not closing the highway prior to October 13th. And then, you know, it's really great to have the new highway that runs parallel to Queen Ka'ahumanu.
Yeah, you're talking about Anikeahokulole Highway.
That's the one. So there are points that people can access the industrial areas from the backside coming off of the new highway.
Diana Birch, how many participants are you expecting for Ironman this year?
You know, we anticipate that we'll have over 2,500 athletes start for the 40th anniversary.
Wow. People don't tend to drop out of Ironman once they're lucky enough to get in, do they?
Not at the Ironman World Championship. You know, it's one of those things that you see attrition at other races. People get excited, you sign up, you're inspired. But people, it's a dream to come to Kona. And some of these people have been waiting 20 years for this opportunity to get here. So for them to cancel their trip is very, very rare. So we allocated 2,550 slots, and we'll probably have 2,535 athletes show up.
You know, you didn't say people really look forward to coming to the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. You said people look forward to coming to Kona. And a question that's been asked repeatedly over the years is, will Ironman be moving out of Kona? And it's funny because you call the race Kona, and I've heard athletes call it the same. So talk about the possibility of the owner of the Ironman Triathlon World Championship making a decision to leave Kona.
You know, it's funny because for years I've heard that rumor, and every year it seems like it's got a new twist to it, a new location that we're headed. But this is our home, and Ironman is what it is today because of this island, because of how special it is, because of the community. And so it is true. It is the Ironman World Championship. However, people from all over the world, when they talk about it, they talk about coming to Kona. They talk about, you can tell somebody I've done an Ironman, and the question will be, have you done Ironman Kona? And so it is, it's the place that people dream about. And so there's been absolutely no intentions, no discussions that we will leave this island. This is where our home is.
The Ironman was purchased by a Chinese company called Wanda Dalian, or Dalian Wanda, around 2015. How has that affected your operation here in Kona?
You know, it hasn't impacted us at all. We're very fortunate that we have a lot of support with our company to do what we do. It's a successful event. It's the world championship. It's a place that everybody aspires to go and to be a part of. Their real intentions were to grow the sport, and a lot of their focus has been to focus on Asia and specifically China in growing the sport.
So they have added new races in China and other places?
Yes, they have. I want to say this year in China, they'll either have 5 or 6 new events that,
really?
That took place in 2018.
So I'm curious, do we have any Chinese competitors in the Kona Ironman?
We do, and I don't know what the count is, but we absolutely do have Chinese athletes that will be competing.
Well, that's kind of nice for them. I'm sure they got really excited when they had the opportunity to do that. How many volunteers do you typically have, and how many are you expecting this year?
You know, every year, you know, our number is that it's over 5,000. And there's some areas that, you know, maybe you don't need as many volunteers in an area, but we love to welcome the support and the excitement that's around the event. So we're very fortunate that we don't typically have a challenge of getting volunteers. We have probably 85% of the volunteers come from the state of Hawaii, primarily this island. And then there are volunteers that come from all over the world just to be a part of the experience.
How many people do you expect to be on the Big Island in connection with Ironman?
You know, it's a tough number to figure out. I have to say that over the past 3 or 4 years, I feel like it's just growing more and more, and you just feel it, and you feel it earlier. But we anticipate having over 30,000 spectators, media, and VIPs that will be here to watch the race.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes people forget, you know, there's only, it's a lot, 2,500 athletes, it's a lot of people. But typically they drag along friends and family, and there's also media. And I know there's lots and lots of media in town. There's sponsors, and for the sponsors, I imagine they use it as a big perk to bring their clients to, et cetera. So there's just a whole lot of people who come for various reasons.
Absolutely. You know, the excitement that it's the world championship, you know, you have people all year that their goal has been to get to Kona. They've been training for it. You have partners that have been focusing on releasing, you know, new items in the sporting world. You know, they have their market right here. We have over 250 media that will be credentialed, that will come in and highlight the race. And so it really is. And to add to it with the 40th anniversary, The excitement this year to have some of our legends return, of course, Mark Allen, Dave Scott, Paula Newbie Frazier, Tim DeBoom will be back, Natasha Bodman. So this year will be bigger than ever just because of the excitement of the 40th anniversary.
How did Iron Man start?
Well, in 1978, on the island of Oahu, John and Judy Collins came up with this concept to let's take the Waikiki Rough Water Swim, the Around the Island Bike Ride, and the Honolulu Marathon, put these three events together, and got a group of people that agreed to do it, and they decided whoever finished first that they would call them the Iron Man. And so crazy, such an organic, probably, conversation, I can only imagine, that has come together now to be one of the most sought-after endurance events in the world.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. Our conversation today is with Diana Birch, who's in charge of the Ironman Triathlon World Championship in Kona, which comes up this coming Saturday. She also has responsibility for other races as well. Island Issues is on the radio on the Big Island of Hawaii every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then you may hear the podcast of this and previous episodes at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. And again, I mentioned at the start of the show, it's political time and we have an election coming up. Absentee ballots will be mailed out as soon as this week. I urge you to listen back to the interview I did with Peter Adler about a constitutional convention, if you've not already made up your mind about that, and to go to BigIslandVideoNews.com to see a video about the proposed constitutional amendment that would allow the state to start taxing real properties here in the county, something that has been reserved only to the counties by state constitution up to this point. It's a tricky issue. Next Sunday morning, our conversation is with scientists from Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, their perspectives on the massive lava flow, which, knock on wood, still is in pause. Let's get back to our conversation with Diana Birch about the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. Diana, I know that you mentioned there's 30,000 people who are here on the island for Ironman, and I think most of us who live here know that because restaurants are quite full, hotels are full, grocery stores are depleted of the things that the athletes like, which the hint is shop early and often if you're a person who lives here and you don't want to miss out. But I know that Ironman actually has a more global reach than just what happens here on the island, and that's really important for exposure and tourism. So tell us more about that.
It's twofold. So if you've been on this island, if you've grown up here, if this is your home, you know Ironman as Ironman and what happens in this town. I think one of the things that people don't realize is that Ironman is global. And what Ironman does is they take Hawaii to the world. And it's quite exciting. So we actually have races in over 53 countries, which is absolutely insane if you think about it. And we actually have over 230 events where at any one of those events, they know what the Ironman World Championship is. They know about Kona, Hawaii, because that's the dream. But the other thing that we have that people don't realize is the ability once on island, so starting Monday of race week, we have the ability to take the island to the world. So we'll be doing live broadcasts every day of race week right here from Kailua Kona, talking about the race, talking about what's coming up, talking about the different events, the Parade of Nations, Heroes of Hawaii, which is a great celebration on Monday night that's open to anybody. And it's an education format for all these people that come from all over the world to get educated about Hawaii and the culture here and the heroes here in Hawaii. And then we also talk about the Ironman heroes and the Ironman legends. Then on race day, Facebook Watch, we'll be doing a live production with our production team. And we just had this incredible experience at the Ironman 70.3 World Championship in South Africa.
And what is the 70.3?
The Ironman 70.3 is half the distance of the Ironman. So the 70.3 is in reference to the distance in miles. And so it's a phenomenal event. And we actually had over 6 million viewers watching those races on race day. And we know at the end of the day, the dream, the goal is Kona. So we anticipate even seeing that number increase over the entire production race week.
Wow. And so the broadcast that you're talking about that'll be live during race week, where will people see them?
On Facebook Watch Live, they'll be on every day, but they'll be actually, their set will be right down at the King Kamehameha's Kona Beach Hotel.
Oh, pretty cool. In the past, there's been a broadcast on NBC that's sort of an after broadcast, a couple of hours that usually runs around December. Is that still going to happen?
Yes, we definitely will still have the show on NBC. We're really excited. Amory Sports Organization is actually the production crew. Amory Sports is the same production group that does the Tour de France. So we're very excited about what they bring to the table. But we also have a series called The Quest for Kona. And it's about 10 athletes and their story and their qualifying story of how they're trying to get to Kona. So it's exciting about it because we already know who those people are and if they've qualified or not, but it's actually their story and how they're getting to Kona or maybe not.
What's the economic impact of Ironman on either our island or our state? I assume most of the impact is here on the Big Island, but do we know what the dollar value is?
We don't have a current dollar amount. We have a formal economic impact study that was done by a third party in 2006. And at that time, which was significantly different because we had registered 1,777 athletes, and the economic impact to the state was $25.9 million. Now, we're certain with the growth of the race that the race is, you know, that Ironman is more global than it's ever been. The increase in athletes, the increase in media and VIP and partnerships, that the economic impact has significantly increased since that time. But as you and I have talked, I think what's even more exciting about that is where we've been able to go from 2006 and give this island the exposure and give the state the exposure through all of our production and media platforms.
Do we have any sense as to how much is spent on a per athlete basis? Diana, I think I saw something that you passed out at a Konokohala Chamber of Commerce meeting. What is the per athlete spending generally for folks who compete in triathlons or even in this triathlon?
You know, it's a great question and it definitely varies. But to be in this sport, you have to be able to be prepared to spend some money. And what we've found through our athletes is that they're spending anywhere from $7,000 to $26,500 when they are committed to doing an Ironman race.
So does that include what they spend on preparing or is that really mostly things like airfare and hotel and making sure they have their bike, very expensive bike? Wow, that'd be way more than $7,000.
It would definitely be way more than $7,000 for some of the bikes, as you know. But this is inclusive of maybe, you know, bike repairs, equipment, training, travel, race fees, that type of thing. But you are 100% spot on because you know how much people can spend on the bike of their dreams.
Well, that brings me to, I will use the term technology. Ironman today in 2018 is really different from Ironman when I first started volunteering for it back in around 1995, I think, relative to technology and nutrition and, you know, the sophistication of what the athletes know. So talk about what you know about that.
The sport of triathlon, like many sports, it's benefited from the continued innovations within the sporting goods industry. But what I love is when you see some of these pictures, and of course we've been able to reflect on them more recently, where you actually have some of these athletes in 1978 that were wearing cutoff shorts to go do this ride, and you see some of the helmets and just the gear that they had. I mean, honestly, those guys had to be so tough because they went out there without any knowledge, without any technology, and 100% did what they did all on heart. So you see it today advancing and changing every year. And what's great about the Ironman World Championship in Kona is you have so many people in the sports industry that come here to launch new products just to introduce them to the athletes. So it's a very exciting time to see this happen at our expo.
Any idea how many of the athletes need medical attention after the race?
You know, I don't have that number with me. It's amazing because so many of these athletes are so fit. They're in post-race eating and enjoying their time, and you see them the next day at awards, and they actually look better than most of us that are volunteering and putting the race on. So I think with their training, and by the time they get to the World Championship, they have done everything that they can to prepare to put their bodies through the endurance on that day.
Speaking of nutrition, I'm just curious about something. I know that you have a medical tent for the athletes. Do you have any sense as to whether more or fewer athletes are needing medical attention after Ironman? Because it's a very grueling race.
It's interesting that you asked that question. It's actually a really good question. You know, I think back in the day when we talk about where we've gone with technology, the athletes have also gone there with nutrition. And now they understand what they're doing, what it's doing to their body, and what it requires them to get through the day. You look back in the past and they're wearing jean shorts in 1978 on the ride. I can't even imagine what they were eating or what they used as nutrition. But these athletes, it's just as much of a study for them, and not just on race day, but a lot of them year round are very careful with how they fuel their body. And so with that, we've definitely seen, you could talk to our medical team, that the number of athletes, the percentage of athletes that go into medical is less than it was years ago.
Do you have any sense that the recent lava flow, which lasted for about 3 months and caused amazing, horrible fog on the west side of the island, do you have any sense that that has deterred either any of the Ironman participants or spectators from coming? Are you hearing anything about that?
No, you know, we haven't with the Ironman World Championship. And I think that goes back to our discussion that for so many people, it's such a goal to reach this island, to be a part of the Ironman World Championship, to run along Ali'i Drive, that has not deterred people from coming. I will say, though, I can't tell you, I mean, as you run into everybody on the street that lives here, I think the number one conversation is, isn't it beautiful and how beautiful these guys are? Absolutely had some of the most beautiful days that I can remember. It's been absolutely amazing and can't wait for these athletes to see what a beautiful place this is.
You know, several years ago, I did a story for Hawaii Public Radio, and it happened to be a sort of a foggy time. I think it might have been after 2008 when the Halema'uma'u lava lake recreated itself. And I randomly stopped about six people who were running on Ali'i Drive training, and I just asked them, is the fog a problem for you? And five of the athletes said, kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, I live in Minneapolis. I run on the streets of, you know, a major city. And I talked to one of the Navy SEALs who was parachuting into Kailua Bay before the race. And he said, you know, I'm at Camp Pendleton. The highway's right there. No, you know, everything's fine. And the last person I talked to said, oh, my God, the air is so terrible here. And I said, and you're from where? Honolulu. So it was really only people who know what kind of great air we can have. So I just thought that was pretty amusing. It was a funny story for me to do because nobody thought it was bad, just us.
Yeah, no, but it has. It's amazing how alarming it was if you watch the news, I think, more recently, if you're on the mainland. But no, it's absolutely beautiful. And I have to tell you, the people that are coming, they're coming.
Well, I think the athletes are going to be more amazed at how bright and sunny it is. It is piercing.
Definitely need to wear their sunscreen.
Yeah, no kidding. What else is important for us to talk about, Diana Birch? What else should we know about the Ironman Triathlon World Championship, which comes up October 13th, right in the heart of Kailua Kona and all along the west side of Hawaii Island?
I think the biggest thing for me is that this race is what it is today because of this island, because of the state of Hawaii, because of this community. It wouldn't happen and it wouldn't have how unique it is if it didn't have the aloha spirit, the culture of Hawaii. Every year, and this is something that we've worked on since I came into this position in 2003, is it's critical for us to make certain that we recognize the Hawaiian culture. That's the most important thing we can do. That is what these athletes tie into. Swim, bike, run, crossing that finish line on Ali'i Drive, that's not what they're buying. They're buying what's fulfilling their soul. And so that's something that you can't define. It's something that you have to experience. And what makes it so special here are the people, and it's the culture. And what is so incredible to me is that you can't describe it, you can't put it in a bottle and sell it. But when people get here and they experience it, there's without a doubt, whether you're watching it, you're a media person, you're a VIP, or you're an athlete competing, or you're a volunteer, you're a part of changing somebody's life, and you're a part of fulfilling a dream. And to me, no matter how crazy this world gets, it's something that on that day, I feel like you have thousands of people that put their differences aside to watch 2,500 people fulfill a dream. And to me, there's nothing that's really, I don't know, more organic and that feels better than that and that is fulfilling to me and keeps all of us doing what we're doing.
Diana Birch, in addition to being the vice president of World Championships for Ironman, you did Ironman yourself. Tell us about that experience a little bit.
So it was a long, long time ago, Sherry, but
What year was it?
1995. I had the opportunity to compete at the Ironman World Championship. To this day, I can remember those moments of running down Ali'i Drive. I can remember moments of thinking, what was I thinking and how am I going to get through this? But what I remember that will never leave me is that feeling that I achieved something that I didn't think was possible. And that's something that carries with you forever. And so Ironman, it's not just a thing. It's not just something we talk about. It's not just swim, bike, run. It's in your blood. It's a fabric of who you are. And once you've crossed that finish line, there's nothing that can change that. But honestly, crossing that finish line is just not on the athlete side. It's for every volunteer out there that makes it possible.
How many people on your staff, Diana Birch?
Let's see. There's a total of six of us, I believe, right now. So six of us here in Hawaii. But we have a world championship team that goes around the world that is probably about 25 of us in total.
Okay. And then you're supplemented by around 5,000 volunteers during race week.
I would say that it's the 5,000 volunteers that are the magic to it and that make it all happen.
Diana Birch, thank you so much for sharing your mana'o with us.
Thank you, Sherry. Aloha.
And of course, to our audience, thank you so much for listening. This is why we do this. And of course, I just love being able to talk with these folks and bring you the stories. This is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken, and I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.